Welcome to the Nerds Domain podcast, where we explore the geeky side of life. This week, we're going to have a special episode exploring a topic. Welcome to the Nerds Domain.
Get a butt in your brain, you're in the Nerds Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hey, everybody. It is about to begin this week on the Nerds Domain podcast. I'm Matt, and I am joined by Rob Southgate. Say hi, Rob.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
I'm here.
The Lord Commander of Southgate Media. And we're going to talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Infinity War and what we think is going on there. But all in all, it's going to be nerdy stuff about comic book movies, because I think that I am joined by a great guest who loves the same things I do. Rob, you do a podcast called Nuff Said, right?
Yeah, actually, it's one of the first that we did with the network. We started out with Martha and I doing Chester's Mill, which was about Under the Dome. And then we had this idea to create a network. And I said, you know, I think we should do one about Marvel. And talked to my friend Jack. And I thought I was inviting him to just do the theme song. And I said, I got to tell you about this. And I started telling him about it. And he goes, great, I'm in. And next thing I know, I had a co-host for Nuff Said. And right, for the first, I think it was a year or 2 years, it was Jack and I. And then there was this this Jamoke that was writing in. And I heard him on his podcast talk about what a big fan he was. And I invited him on. And that was a Lil. And Jack went on to go back to school. He just got his doctorate. He didn't have time, so it became a Lil and I on that show.
Excellent.
So now you know the history of Nuff Said.
Yeah, and you guys cover a little bit of everything Marvel, focusing. You focused for a while on the S.H.I.E.L.D. show, which I think you still touch on. But yeah.
Yeah, so basically when we started, it was going to be about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then that summer, after the first season, Jack and I went, hey, we got to do something over the summer. So we went back and we did the first wave of the Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
And we had a lot of fun with that. And we realized, hey, there's more stuff that could be going on here. And just like with a Lil, you know, I tease a Lil that he was a super fan, but I had other super fans. There was Charlie Esser, who was writing on our Facebook page, and he was writing these like crazy things about Marvel, way more than Jack or I knew. And I reached out to him and I said, hey, man, you want to write a blog for us? And very quickly that turned into a podcast. So Charlie started the Super Connectivity podcast, which is on Nuff Said. And then we brought Phil in to do Before the Bat about the show Gotham.
Yep.
And he was a fan of Nuff Said and said, hey, would you mind if I maybe did something about comic books on your thing? And that's how the all new Marvel Reviews started, which was also on the Nuff Said feed. And that's really how that team kind of evolved. Lil and I got to the point where we got so busy that about midway through the last season, we couldn't record anymore. So Phil and Charlie, and I don't remember if anybody else joined them, and took over the last part of the season. Lil and I have attempted to come back a couple of times. We had all the best intentions, but I'm in the final stages of a master's in marketing, and every time I think I have time, I don't.
Yeah.
And Lil has been having trouble getting time because of work. He's finally stabilizing. I'm about 4 weeks from stabilizing. So, yes, Nuff Said will be back in all of its glory, and we will cover all of it.
Excellent.
You know, we're just big Marvel fans.
Well, and there's a lot to be fans of, especially right now. Just as a heads up to our listeners, we are covering the movies. I'm not touching the TV shows, partially because I haven't finished watching some of the seasons that are out right now, but also because
I actually haven't either.
It's also a lot to cover. I mean, we've got 18 movies. That's a lot to cover all by itself.
Right.
Let alone what, seven shows?
You know, since the shows aren't technically tying in to the movie. Now, we don't know that for sure, but we're pretty sure.
Yeah.
Although I do have some theories. I would not be surprised, even though they have denied, and we haven't seen anything happen. I would not be surprised if we didn't get some cameos from maybe the Defenders, even just a brief, quick, oh my gosh, there they are.
Yeah.
Because if you watch those shows, they do drop Easter eggs about being part of the MCU.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And even though the MCU hasn't dropped any Easter eggs about them, I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to. I think there's a lot going on. They didn't drop Easter eggs on in the MCU about Doctor Strange, but they did drop them on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Way before he appeared in the movies. So I think it's all tied. I just don't think they do a great job of letting us know it's all tied. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right, right. Yeah. So let's start with phase one. Phase one, in honor of this this episode tonight, I actually watched Captain America First Avenger today.
Phase Such one, a good movie.
Well, and looking back, phase one of the six, I think that like three of them are a little rough. Actually, I think that
which would you say are rough?
I think looking back, Thor is very rough. I think that they didn't have any idea what to do with Thor. They didn't know what to do with Thor in the second Thor movie, and they finally figured out that Thor can be fun and amazing in the third Thor movie. But
yeah,
the first one is just, there's some great character moments, there's some great acting, but the script and the villain is very weak. Just kind of terrible, honestly.
Yeah.
Iron Man, I think, is kind of at the top of the bad movies. I don't think it's great.
Oh, the first Iron Man?
Yeah, I don't think it's, like, going back and looking at it, I don't think it's great. I think that Obadiah Stane is a long play villain and not a short play villain like this. And again, one of the things,
yeah,
but
that was made like an indie film, and they really didn't know anything was going to go beyond past that.
Yeah,
so they had to play it in the short game. I actually think Iron Man is an exceptional film. I think two is where there's a little bit of a misstep, even though I like two.
I think that the villain Mickey Rourke, right? Yes.
Yeah, Whiplash.
I think he's way underutilized as an actor and not given enough. So is Sam Rockwell. There's a lot that I don't like about Iron Man 2. It is very low on my list of movies that I that I want to watch from this.
The big issue with Iron Man 2 for the fan is that it was really the point when they realized, hey, this has legs. This
right.
is going to, we're leading to Avengers. So there's a lot of setup in there. And it's kind of like if you watch a TV show, you know, there's a thing we always talk about, transitional episodes, where, you know, they're three from the end of the season and you're so excited. You think there's going to be all this action and it's a lead balloon because they're setting everything up.
Yeah.
And even though this had this awesome action with Whiplash, a lot of it is just kind of setting things up, putting things in motion. And it is a little bit weaker. I think that they were feeling cocky about it. I still like it. I still like two. I still like three. You know, there are none of them that I find really weak, other than I think the first Thor, it's not one I go back to. I know there's a lot of hate for Thor 2.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I like Thor 2 better than 1.
But I don't hate that one either.
I think that I don't like either of I don't like any of the Iron Man movies. And the more I look back, after having watched Avengers Age of Ultron and Captain America Civil War, I hate them even more.
Interesting.
And we can get into the wider character arc of that in a bit, but I feel like Iron Man is not bad, but it's not great. Iron Man 2 takes what the first one was, extends it a little bit, but doesn't really shine the same way. And Thor is really kind of tough to sit through, honestly.
Now, you're not mentioning the Hulk, because Hulk is part of Phase 1.
Hulk is not. Incredible Hulk is. So the first
right,
Hulk
Incredible
with,
Hulk is.
Yeah, with Eric Bana, they threw that out. But Incredible Hulk, I love.
Which they should have.
I love Incredible Hulk. And I probably haven't watched it in a while, and that might be why I love it. But I think that Edward Norton as the Hulk, or as Bruce Banner, is great. I think what they do with the story is way better than what they did with Eric Bana, and he is so much way above what that first Hulk movie was. And it's unfortunate that his ego got in the way, but at the same time,
yeah.
I really like Mark Ruffalo, so I don't know if we missed out on anything.
I don't think they did a bad job with the actors on either one. I do think it sucks that Ed Norton couldn't play ball.
Yeah. I think
that's a problem because I do think that he would have been really interesting going forward. But Mark Ruffalo is great.
Well, and I also don't think that Edward Norton saw the larger scope that this would become. And that's fair because how would you even begin to know that this is going to be this, what it is now? I mean, we're about to release
because
movie 19.
Because I called it, man. Come on, man.
But I mean,
I called it back when we watched David Hasselhoff as Nick Fury. Come on.
I mean, that's a movie that definitely they put on film and released somewhere. That is terrible. Anyway, so we're gonna stick with what's actually in the MCU. Captain America: The First Avenger, I think, is I like Captain America as a character, and it is still a movie to this day that makes me tear up at points. And really, I dig the concept and the way they write him, and they get him exactly right from start to finish.
I agree. And I thought, you know, as a comic book fan, I thought bringing Red Skull in was just awesome.
And
I was so excited to have Red Skull there.
And they got a fantastic actor to play him. And
once again, an actor who never wants to do another MCU movie.
Right, which is unfortunate because I don't think the Red Skull's dead, but, you know, who knows? Whatever.
No, I don't think so either. But, you know, they could also recast character. It's been long enough.
Well, and they've recast a bunch of stuff, people already. Edward Norton was recast. We got Don Cheadle. You know, we've seen recasting in this. It's not that big of a deal. We have two Howard Starks. I forgot that the first Avenger had a different Howard Stark. I like the second Howard Stark way better. I love that actor from Mad Men. I can't think of his name, but he's fantastic. So recasting is not that big of a deal.
There was a different one in First Avenger. Who was the first one?
I'm gonna look. But yeah, it was definitely not. It was definitely not the guy from Mad Men.
Interesting. I don't remember a different.
And the thing is, I didn't remember him being in the movie that much, and he's actually in the movie quite a bit. Captain America and Iron Man meet later, and he's like, "Yeah, I know your dad." Like, it's not just some passing thing. He knew his dad. Howard Stark is played by Dominic Cooper.
Well, Dominic Cooper plays young Howard Stark. John Slattery plays old Howard Stark.
I feel like.
And Dominic Cooper has been Howard Stark the whole time.
Has he? Okay, maybe you're right. Maybe I just keep thinking of old Howard Stark, and I think old Howard Stark.
And he played Howard Stark on Peggy Carter.
I have not watched Peggy Carter. I feel bad, but I have not watched
it. First season is really great. Second season is not as great, but it shouldn't have been canceled.
Yeah.
Here's how good it is. They do a musical episode, and usually that is the kiss of death for me.
Yeah.
I actually liked the musical episode. Right, if you go back and you listen to the Nuff Said where we talk about it, Jack and I both were like, I can't believe I liked this thing. It was really great.
Yeah, since we don't have cable, if it doesn't hit Netflix at the right time for me, and I'm not in the middle of another series, it's really tough for me to get on top of. And Agent Carter, I think it went to Netflix. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
And so I have yet to see it. It's something that I need to see. And after watching First Avenger again today, Hayley Atwell is fantastic, and it made me want to see.
She's great
more
on Agent Carter, and Agent Carter is very tied to the MCU.
Good.
Very much so. In fact, there's a storyline in it that involves a Russian spy that you totally know. This is the Black Widow program before anybody knew what that was. So like when it plays out, you're like, oh my God, I know exactly what's going to happen here. I know who she is. Even though we don't know what the character is.
Yeah.
And she's deadly. And watching her go up against Agent Carter was really, really cool.
And so all of Phase 1 culminates into the Avengers.
Yes.
Which I think was a phenomenal film. I don't think it's as great now as it was then. I think that they have developed a world that is more robust now, and it falls just a little bit flat compared to what they're doing with the other movies. But that it was also like,
it was the first time that was happening.
It was also a giant gamble because it could have just fallen very flat.
Yeah. It could have been a huge sewage balloon, but
yeah,
actually I think that a better Avengers film is Winter Soldier, because they really, that really fit the Avengers.
Winter Soldier or Civil War?
Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Civil War, I think, is definitely Avengers film.
Right.
But Winter Soldier, I think, is that is a crown jewel in the MCU. And you had enough of the Avengers in it.
Right.
That it definitely felt like an Avengers film to me. It was what I wanted the Avengers to be, which is when you get to Age of Ultron after this wonderful Winter Soldier film. I fell asleep during Age of Ultron.
I didn't find we'll talk about Phase 2. We'll go ahead and switch over to that, because the only thing I would say about Avengers is they work really well at grabbing things from the Avengers and putting it everywhere else. So, I mean, that's how we get Spider-Man Homecoming. That's how we got a lot of stuff from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We got some short films from the Blu-ray and DVD release that were really good. There's a lot of great stuff that comes out. So it's almost like a landmark moment where they plant their flag and say, yes, we're doing this, and then they move forward with it, and we get everything else from that. And I think it went well above and beyond what I expected them to be able to do, and I'm very impressed that they got that to pulled off, and it was coherent enough.
You're talking Winter Soldier?
No, the Avengers, the first one.
The Avengers, yeah. The first one. Okay, we're still talking that. I agree. And it did have those big Avengers hero moments. It had that iconic scene when they're all back to back. I remember when I saw it in the theater, I was knocked out.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. On rewatches, I do love it, but it doesn't have quite as much substance as I want. I think when Marvel hits its high watermarks, it is unbeatable. That one, I would say, is it's good.
Yeah.
It's above average, but it's not, it doesn't hit the heights of a Winter Soldier, not even close. And I no spoiler, but I think Infinity War is going to absolutely crush that.
We will. I'm interested to see.
We'll get there.
So starting off Phase 2 is what I think is perhaps the worst of all of the Marvel Universe movies, and that's Iron Man 3. It's a terrible story.
I like Iron Man 3. A lot of people hate it.
It's a terrible.
I like it.
It's a terrible story that has a great story and moments in it from Tony Stark that are then erased by later movies almost immediately. And we just the villain is not good. And then they pulled a.
The villain's a huge mistake in that one.
Yeah,
they should have let him be the Mandarin.
Yeah,
and when they did the. One shot about the Mandarin, that was actually really good. And I remember with our show, when we talked about it, we said, look, I think he's going to end up actually being the Mandarin, but I don't think they're getting to a point where we're going to actually see that. I think the Mandarin is going to be left alone now. And that's too bad.
Well, and so it just, there were a lot of things I didn't like about it a lot. The Exterminus thing was really, it's a movie I don't even want to go back. I've rewatched everything else on here. If I haven't seen it, I've seen it at least once if it's relatively new, or more than once, except Iron Man 3. I saw it one time and I have no interest in ever seeing it again. And it's
fair enough.
Yeah,
there's plenty to watch. You don't have to go back to that.
Right. Thor Dark World I thought was okay. I like that it gave us a wider world of what Thor is and gave us a little more.
No, I can't believe you like that one more than you like Iron Man 3.
Yeah, well.
Even though, once again, I like it all right, but I thought that the villain in that was just nothing.
Yeah, it was a waste of a really good actor who clearly can't play villains very well, because he was in Destro in G.I. Joe and he was okay, but I like stubbing my toe in the dark on a chair more than I like Iron Man 3. So I hope that helps you understand how much I really don't like Iron Man 3.
It does.
But we get those two kind of, I mean, not great movies one after another, I feel like. We got Avengers and then two follow-ups that were not solid, and then we got Captain America Winter Soldier that I don't know that I view it the same way you, that it's the best of the best, but it is definitely way up there.
Winter Soldier. I love Winter Soldier.
I like it as a spy thriller. I like it as Captain America coming to terms with the modern day deal. And then it just drops the giant Hydra bombshell on us. And
You don't love that? I love that.
I do love that. I don't know that it's like, I don't know. Black Panther and Thor are kind of the Thor Ragnarok are kind of my top two right now. And Winter Soldier kind of falls below even First Avenger. Wow. I really, really like First Avenger. I like a good war movie, and then throw Captain America in on top of that. And it's just a solid, solid movie for me. But I think Winter Soldier is great. It's just, for me, it's not that top movie.
Interesting. To me, I think it's one of the best films they've made.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it builds and rips apart a world very quickly that needs to be reset so that we can understand it and watch it get rebuilt.
Yep.
I have no problem with that. And then we got Guardians of the Galaxy, which there was a Avengers cartoon series that they canceled and then rebooted. That they had Rocket that the Guardians showed up in, and I was like, if they do anything with Rocket like they do with this animated series, then it'll be perfect. And they took the essence of that and put it in this movie, and really gave us a fantastic story. It's fun. It's ridiculous. Yeah, and I really, really like it.
I absolutely love Guardians. And we'll get to the second one, but in that first one, I love it. Now, does it have its flaws? Sure.
Sure.
I think the dance off is kind of stupid. I think that at the end, if we get into like story development, I think it kind of falls flat, but the lead up and the fun and the characters and the action, I mean, like everything was there.
Yeah.
You know, it was a fantastic movie. We get to that ending and it has some flaws for me. The dance battle just is kind of stupid to me. I also think Ronan was not a strong villain.
I think
that we're going to see Ronan back in which one is it?
Infinity War?
No. Well, maybe.
Oh, but no. We're going to see him in Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
But Captain Marvel's also...
They're going to redeem themselves there, and we're going to get to see what a tough character this really is.
Well, and Captain Marvel set in the past, in the 90s, which
right.
I think is a great idea. Like, I don't have any problem with that. The thing with Guardians of the Galaxy is that I feel like Ronan is a much stronger villain than some of the other movies we got. I mean, other than First Avenger or other than Captain America First Avenger and Marvel's Avengers, the rest of the villains are kind of lackluster up to this point. Well, I take that. Bucky and Hydra is a whole other thing. But, like,
yeah.
The Thor movies, the Iron Man movies, nothing really came out of those. Incredible Hulk, I don't even remember who the villain was other than the General and the Hulk. I mean, like...
The Abomination.
Right. Well, but, yeah, even then,
and
like...
And the Abomination is still out there. And, in fact, so is the Leader. And, in fact,
right.
There are rumors that we're in either 3 or 4, we are going to see the return of the Abomination and possibly the return of the Leader.
And I don't have a problem with either of those. So, but I think that Guardians of the Galaxy has one of our stronger villains. I think the villains are one of the weak points of the MCU. We don't have a good one
until
later. They
don't focus on the villain properly.
Right.
But you know what? I'm willing to allow that to go past because I have so much fun with these. I really love watching all these movies. But when the villain is right, you know, Red Skull.
Oh yeah,
I'm all in.
Yeah,
I'm all in on that. So if I do have a complaint, it's that I wish the villains were stronger. I know you're going to say, "Yeah, but Loki." Yeah, but Loki. They've turned him into this anti-hero. He flips back and forth.
Which,
he's a great, fully realized character,
which is appropriate for Loki coming from the comic books, because even
right.
in the comic books, he's not this maniacal mustache twirling guy. He has reason behind what he's doing. And a lot of it has to do with pain and hurt. It is not as deep in the movies as it is in the comics, but they also have, you know, decades. So it makes it easier to develop stuff like that.
Right.
We got Age of Ultron, which is definitely a movie you can go see. I was disappointed by some choices. Killing off the Quicksilver right off the get, right there in that last battle, I was very disappointed about phasing
especially
out.
When you think about it, at the same time, just before that, They had done their Quicksilver on the X-Men, and he was
phenomenal.
So amazing. I mean, that was a highlight of all superhero movies, that sequence with him.
It was.
And then you see this, and it was like, he was great. It was good and everything. You killed him off. It was like, yeah, he's kind of inconsequential. It's just a way for us to get the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, and as much as I'm disappointed with their phasing out of Hawkeye, I understand why they're doing it, but I really, really like...
they're not phasing him out. You watch. He's going to be back as that
of course he is.
Other character.
Of course he is. But there's a lot of missteps in Age of Ultron. The big one is there's no realization of the true villain, who is Tony Stark. And I will fight a man for this, because Tony Stark is the villain in Age of Ultron and moving forward. Everything else is Tony Stark being a villain. I take that back.
It's his fault that things happen.
Everything.
You know, I wouldn't say he's a mustache-twirling villain, but it is his choices, it is his ego that are causing the problems. Now, in Ultron should be the villain.
Right.
But there was so much stupid in that one. It made me crazy, and I fell asleep during it, and I've gone back and watched it a few times. Ultron's lips bothered the heck out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, it was really hard to – very distracting, very hard to watch. The whole plan he had of lifting this country up and smashing it back into Earth was dumb. If he could control all those electronics, why wouldn't he? I mean, he could have wiped out the entire world in minutes.
Right. And he didn't.
And instead it's like, I'm going to keep building these Ultron guys and they're going to keep fighting these six people. Stupid.
Now it does introduce Andy Serkis as a fantastic throwaway villain, and I loved him in this. I liked him in Black Panther. I think that Claw was great. It's actually one of my big complaints about Black Panther. One of my few complaints about Black Panther is that they just get rid of him. Because I think
they set us up that he was going to be the big bad, and they threw him away.
Yeah.
Now they did give us a great villain.
Sure. Oh yeah, they gave us a
villain, and that was excellent.
They gave us, I would say, the best villain by far in all of MCU is in Black Panther.
Maybe. Yeah, arguably, yeah.
But Age of Ultron is just kind of – it's Iron Man 2 level, like, for me. It really brought down what I was seeing, and it was unfortunate because they could have done a lot more with it. And then to round out Phase 2, we got Ant-Man, which I love. I think Paul Rudd
is
great.
I love Ant-Man, too.
I
think Ant-Man's a fantastic film. I've watched it so many times. Every time I see it on cable, I end up watching it.
Yeah.
Although that's probably true of all of these,
right?
You know?
That's fair. Yeah,
but I really love Ant-Man. I think that's just a really exceptional movie.
Yeah, and Michael Douglas doesn't outshine anybody. He does exactly what he needs to do, and Paul Rudd gets to be him, and we get to see everything there, and it's fun, and exciting, and fits really well. And we could see.
Well, and I think they did a very meta thing the way they treated Evangeline Lilly and the Wasp. Mm-hmm. Because MCU has had a problem with female characters.
Right.
And, you know, I even had a t-shirt on. I don't know if I have it on. Oh, I have it on now. I have an Avengers t-shirt on. It has everybody but the Black Widow, which to me is ridiculous. She's one of my favorite characters in the Avengers. And in Ant-Man, they had her keep voicing it. And I thought that was really cool that she just kept saying, like, why am I not the one?
Right.
And if you watch the trailers for Ant-Man and the Wasp, basically Michael Douglas is giving her the cooler stuff. Like,
right.
Okay, she gets to be the cooler mini character now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
And I'm fine with that. I think that the actress is great, and I think that having her be far more competent than Paul Rudd, who, in all fairness, Paul Rudd's character is just a burglar. I mean, yeah, he's an electronic burglar, and he's smart, but he's just a burglar. He doesn't understand a lot of other things. And so giving us somebody that understands those things and then making her more competent and giving her more things because she's competent, I'm fine. I think that's great.
I think it's awesome. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah. So we went to Phase 3 and started with Captain America Civil War, which was interesting because Phase 3 is the phase of breaking everything apart. Which I think is what's going to make Infinity War more really great.
I agree. And I was a big fan. I still am a big fan of Civil War. I know, I hear people that's one of their least favorite. They kind of attack it. They don't like that the heroes fought each other.
Yeah.
I think that's a dumb argument. I mean, you know, a lot of people are like, I want to see him fight. I actually don't care about the fighting that much. It is fun to see the action. And if you're going to sit and watch the action, let's see these guys mix it up once. And I think they handled it well.
I think that the fight is important only because they grabbed the things about the characters, let them shine where they could, and then showed their flaws, which is what they're supposed to be.
To your point,
yeah.
This is where they put that dividing line. Mm-hmm. Do you believe Tony is the villain or Captain America is the villain?
Yeah.
And they don't tell you. They let you decide.
And other than Loki, Tony Stark is the first time that we get a reoccurring villain. This is the second movie he's a villain in.
Yeah.
It's
true.
I really like Civil War. It's a downer. It really is a downer watching it. But some of the best movies are downers like this. I mean, Empire Strikes Back is comparable in some ways to watch that fall. So I like Civil War quite a bit. It's not the one I will. If there are another MCU movie that I can watch, I'll probably watch it before Civil War. Only because it's such a downer. So, but it does what it's supposed to.
Although I do have to say, this is the film that cemented Captain America as the best trilogy.
Yeah, easily.
Really, and if you would ask me when this all started, would I say that? No, I would not have.
Right.
I always thought Captain America was all right, but I never thought that was going to be the character that I wait for their movies.
Right. Right. And then
seeing him as Nomad in Infinity War, I'm beside myself. I can't wait to see him show up.
Yeah. Infinity War's got a lot of stuff that I'm excited about. We get Doctor Strange after that, which was a weird movie because they went.
Oh, I freaking loved it!
It's a great movie. It's weird because everything up to this point was, it's all science. Even Thor and Loki, their magic is science, 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 science. Right. And then Doctor Strange was like, "Well, what about you?" And he's like, "Magic, don't worry about it." Like, and so they break their own mold, which is okay. I have no problem with that. I think Benedict Cumberbatch is fantastic. I think he's a better Tony Stark than Tony Stark than Robert Downey Jr. because he has that same
That smarminess.
Yeah. Yes, that's the word. I think that he feels like a hero, and we had a weird villain. It wasn't bad necessarily, it just wasn't great.
Underutilized. I think that we're going to see that villain show back up, and it's going to be really great.
Yeah. The whole of it is really good. I feel like they underutilized their supporting actress, Rachel McAdams.
Agreed.
I think she's a fantastic actress, and they didn't do much with her. I mean, she wasn't even on the screen that much, and I get why, but it wasn't a lot. So
right. Doctor Strange is a hard sell. That was one where they had to really figure out what they were going to present and how they were going to present it. I think when you get into hopefully we'll get a second Doctor Strange film. Mm-hmm. They won't just use him as this, you know, ancillary character. I think a second Doctor Strange film is when we'll really see what's going on for Strange.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it, but I think there are more stories to tell with him.
Definitely. I do.
You know, and really, like, there's a great book, great graphic novel. It's Doctor Strange and Doctor Doom. You know, that would be one that you could definitely play with. It is a really, really great book. And when I read it, I thought, yeah, I could see elements of this getting made into a film. This would be really cool.
We get Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Volume 2 after that. Which I think is great. I think it does a lot of stuff. I think we get great character moments. I wasn't, like, the more I look back at it, the more I'm less and less keen on Ego as the villain. It's just not.
I agree with that. Actually, it's funny. I just rewatched it very recently, and I loved it when I saw it in the theater, and then I didn't go back to it. And I kind of thought, yeah, I liked it, but I didn't love it as much as the first one.
Yeah.
Watching it the second time, I really loved it equal to the first one, I think.
Sure.
But Ego, you know, I love Kurt Russell.
Right.
And I think he kind of phoned it in at the second part of that movie. It just something didn't connect for me.
Right.
I think Ego might have been a bad choice. It got a little convoluted. The other thing that happened in that movie that does bother me is the way they portray Mantis. They make her, you know, this like subservient character to Ego. I get that idea. I get what they were doing to introduce her, but we never saw her turn into Mantis.
Right.
And Mantis in the comics is a badass.
Yeah. And I think
she is a tough character. And in this, it was like, oh, she's a little geisha girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted that bothered me. I wish that they had that flip and had it when things were crumbling for Ego that she like woke up and it was like, oh my God, like this is a character you don't want to mess with.
Right. And I think that I wonder if Kurt Russell put his foot down in the second half of the film or in the second half of the movie and did Ego the way he wanted to instead of the way James Gunn wanted him to, because Gunn doesn't have exactly a long pedigree of directing film, but Kurt Russell on the other hand has been in everything.
Right.
So I'm wondering if there was a little bit of Ego problem with Ego, but I don't know. I think that what's his name from the Ravagers? With the fin.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, but I think that he's phenomenal. I think there are great character moments. I think that there are character growth. There's character growth and understanding, especially for background for Star-Lord, who didn't understand who he was fully, and then realizing that he knew who he was the whole time. He just didn't grasp it. And I think there's a lot to be said there. And I'm very impressed with David Bautista as an actor.
Oh my gosh, I'd say he's great in it.
Because he even when he was wrestling, because I'm on again off again wrestling fan. When he was wrestling, he just came out and looked like a big dumb jock, and he seemed like a big dumb jock. And in the first one, he's not great, but in the second one, he really just like they give him lines and he runs with them and he has fun with it, and he's over the top, but in every way you want him to be for the movie and for the character. So,
yeah, he definitely nailed it in that.
Yeah. And we go from that to Spider-Man Homecoming, which got shoehorned into Phase 3, but shoehorned in for a good reason, because, you know, if you can grab hold of your Spider-Man and bring him home, you do it.
Yeah.
And we got...
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what? I thought that was a really great... Now, here's another one where I think they did a better job with the villain again.
Yeah.
I think that what they did was they made the Vulture a very MCU type villain,
right?
But they did let him have backstory. I mean, when he's in that car with Peter and he says it without saying it until the very end, that's a really excellent scene. It's very uncomfortable.
It is.
And Peter doesn't know if he knows. And then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, you want to stay away from my daughter. You're like, uh-oh, he knows.
It sets up Spider-Man as a friendly neighborhood character instead of putting him on the same level as the Avengers, which I think is important, while still realizing that he is powerful enough to be at that level. He's a kid. So like you got to start somewhere and get your feet underneath you. And I think that, the actor who I'm drawing a blank on for the
Tom
Vulture,
Holland.
No, for the Vulture.
Oh, Michael Keaton.
I think Michael Keaton is fantastic out of the suit. I think he's a little too maniacal in the suit, but I think that there are those quiet moments where Michael Keaton is just knocking it out of the park, and it feels very solid. And it speaks to, you know, it speaks to that working class where somebody with a lot of money just comes in and screws things over for you, and what are you going to do? And I like
that.
But
I love that they took it back to the Avengers.
Right.
You know, they were the cleanup crew.
Right.
You know? And I thought that was really, really great the way they tied it all together. I know there's a lot of talk about how it's messed up the MCU timeline.
Yeah.
I don't buy that. I think that we're interpreting the timeline one way, but I think that after Infinity War, it's all going to fit together in a different way, and we're going to go, oh, this was happening then, and now I get why this was going on, and it's all going to make sense.
I think that I don't care.
It's not a mess like the X-Men.
Right, I think I don't care that it breaks the timeline because two things. Broken continuity is inherent to comic books, so if we don't have it in the movies, it makes the movies less authentic. So we need it. Even if it's just small stuff, and it's none of it is really that consequential. It's they had to shoehorn in a character. What does it matter? We got Spider-Man, guys. Let's just enjoy right. The fact that we have Spider-Man. We have a good actor. The previous two actors were not bad as Spider-Man, but I think this is by far the best Peter Parker, the best Spider-Man we've had. The actor knocks it out of the park. There's a lot of weird tech stuff. Tony is also the villain in this one. I'm just going to argue that. For a kid who got taught by his dying uncle that with great power comes great responsibility, Tony is the worst absentee father in history.
He's the worst.
He gives this kid a spider suit that is super powerful and then just leaves him. Like, quit, right. Tony, quit being a billionaire and, like, pay attention to this kid that you put in the suit and you pulled into this.
Right.
So, Tony Stark is the worst. Like, I can't think of anything else other than Tony Stark is the worst. But I liked it. I didn't see it in theaters. I didn't see that one in theaters. I've seen almost everything. I've seen everything else in theaters. That was the one we missed.
We went and saw that one at the opening night.
Right on.
Saw a midnight show, I think it was. It was so fantastic.
But I think it's a great movie, and I think it fits with the same... every one of these movies, and I was going to talk about this after Black Panther, but every one of these movies has a theme to it, and I think that's what they're getting right. Even on the movies they don't do well, like Thor, they still have a theme to it.
Absolutely. We've talked about this on Enough Said quite a bit. Each one has it, like you said, Winter Soldier. That's a spy thriller.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Guardians. That's a space opera. It's
right.
Star Wars.
Right.
You know?
Ant-Man's a fantastic heist movie.
Yeah. And yeah. So each one has had kind of its own thing. And Spider-Man was really... it was very much of a teenage movie with a superhero.
Right. And so they're taking a concept and then... And it's also about a superhero. So it's a heist movie. And there are superheroes right. in it. You know,
and that's something that they've done well compared to, say, DC, who keeps trying to make superhero movies.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, but these aren't working.
Right. And it's...
Yeah. Star Wars worked because it was a Japanese samurai movie.
Right.
In space.
Exactly. Yeah. After Homecoming, Spider-Man Homecoming, we get Thor Ragnarok, which I as I said earlier... That one and Black Panther are at the very top. They're one and two. Questionable which order is which. We get a broken mold, or we get a broken Thor. We get a lot of comedy from a character who knows he's ultimately powerful, but then we find out that he's really not. We get to see him torn apart and then rebuild himself and learn about his own backstory that he didn't have any information about. We get to see Anthony Hopkins become a little bit of a villain in this.
He brought in cool characters like Valkyrie.
Yeah, we get to see Loki again do the, well, yeah, I should probably fight with you and do that thing for a little while. And that's great. We get a giant freaking
Just
zombie
I'm
dog.
I'm going to turn on you at some point.
Right, right. We get a giant freaking zombie dog. We get the Hulk. We get hints at World War Hulk, which
now I gotta
is
say,
fantastic.
Actually, the Hulk thing... As fun as it was to see him like that, that was one of the weaker things for me. I thought that they played him up as a little too goofy. So when you're saying it's like number one or number two for you, actually the Hulk thing, I had high expectations. It kind of didn't work for me as well as I thought.
Okay. I've not found anybody that agrees with my exact ordering, but I think we both agree it's far better than the other Thor movies.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I really loved it. Yeah. I walked out of there and I was like, yeah, I want to see this again.
Yeah. It really pulled everything together. It got let us see the other parts of space that the Guardians of the Galaxy aren't dealing with, which Jeff Goldblum playing a weird Jeff Goldblum is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Really enjoyed that.
Well, and it definitely ties into Guardians, which is a smart move, and it really sets up. I mean, with Thanos coming, you have to understand what the Marvel space universe is like.
Right.
And I think this was that nice, here we go, here's a brushstroke, you get an idea of, you know, it's not just Guardians, it's this. And now we go, oh, between that and the other Thor movies, seeing Asgard and now seeing, you know, we've seen the Guardians stuff, now I'm ready for Thanos to come.
I think the other thing it does, and I think you had some concerns about this earlier, is it takes Doctor Strange and actually sets him up as a protector of Earth against bigger things, which draws him into Infinity War, because otherwise he's not really in this.
Right.
So
But he should be. He should be very important in Infinity War.
Right. And so that bringing him in through Thor Ragnarok may seem like a misstep or like an underutilization of the character, but at the same time, I feel like it really positions Doctor Strange as what he is and what he does, and that he's good at it, because we don't see that.
It actually didn't feel like a misstep to me at all. In fact, I really enjoyed what they did with him here. My concern is going forward, if they're not going to continue Doctor Strange's storyline and they're just going to make him this super powerful Earth protector that shows up in Infinity War and then we're done with him.
That's
going to be a bit of a disappointment, because I think there's some really good story there with Doctor Strange.
And this is 2017 and now 2018 are the first two years where we've gotten more than two movies. We got three movies in 17. We've got three movies in 18. They've got three movies coming in 19. Two of them are currently untitled, but we know that it's an Avengers and a Spider-Man sequel. So like they're pushing to ramp this up faster, which just means that Disney's going to get all the money for all the time. Doesn't really matter what's going on.
And I don't really see them going beyond three. At one point, we had talked about how they could do them quarterly, but I think three is the right move.
Well, and there's also a three movie seasons, and I think that's the difference, because you get your fall, you get your spring, and you get your summer, and you don't want to put too much in the summer, because Infinity War is going to release on April 28th, and it will not leave theaters until July. I almost guarantee it. Like, and I'm saying like end of July, by the time Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out, it's still going to be in theaters and they're going to contend against each other.
Still making money.
Right. I mean, we've talked about it, but we do the movie drafts and we just did the winter spring thing, and Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther are two of the three highest grossing movies. We cut Star Wars out because it's its own monster. But those two and Jumanji are the three movies that are just pushing everybody to the top, and two of them are Marvel, and then Jumanji is some weird. It was fantastic, but it was just some weird fluke that got up that high. So then we get Black Panther, which I saw opening weekend. We recorded an immediate movie review. People that listen to the podcast know what I think. I was very happy. I think by far the best villain in all of the MCU, because he's understandable and he's relatable. And when T'Challa's people,
his mission is clear.
Yeah.
His motivation is clear.
And he has good reason for it. Like, he wants to do better. It's just in a very bad way. And when T'Challa's people turn on him, you're like, yeah, that's bad, but can we really argue with this anymore? I mean, really? So like, this has been phenomenal. Black Panther was from front to back phenomenal. We got two minorities that got actual people they can look up to that aren't just a bunch of white dudes. Because we sure as heck don't have any white ladies that we can really look up to right now. They just keep underutilizing. Both Black Widow and the Scarlet Witch are both very underutilized. And they took Sif out of Thor, so we can't even look up to her. Like,
she was so great.
They just keep pushing the women to the side, which is a terrible idea. And I think Black Panther is a clear statement that that's a bad idea. And then we get great actors all throughout the whole movie. I was so very excited about, like, people would pop up on screen, and I'd be like, "Yes, this actor is gonna do great in this role." And then they did, and then some of them died, and it was still really great. Everything about that movie was great. It's funny, and it breaks the tension of the movie by being funny, and it's inappropriately funny because it doesn't fit the time frame or the scene, but it's perfect. I really think that Black Panther is the epitome of what should have been coming out since Phase One, but we built to it and we finally got to it. So, I assume you've seen it, right?
It's actually Shakespeare is what it is.
Right.
And I think that that's why people are reacting to it. One of the reasons they're reacting to it the way they are is it is elegant storytelling.
Right.
And I think that the, you know, big themes, and it was just so well executed. Now, I have had people say, you know, oh, well, every movie should be like this going forward. Like, everything else kind of is irrelevant. They should all be Black Panther. Well, no, they shouldn't. Black Panther should be this.
Yeah.
Ant-Man should be heist comedies.
Yeah.
Captain America should be political thrillers. You know, like, they should stick to their things. Everybody's going to have something they dig.
Yeah.
You know? Guardians, stay a space opera and make it funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
That works. You know, that's where Avengers, I mean, we have the right directors. I actually think that Joss Whedon on Avengers 2, it was part of the problem. I think that he was having a vision that he wasn't getting his way with the studio. The studio was butting up against him, and he delivered not the greatest movie.
I think he under-delivered. I think the scripting was a little rough on that one as well.
Yeah, and I think that was him saying, hey, you know, you guys, I'm pushing back because you guys are pushing at me. Yeah, I think that Marvel corporate was giving him problems, but I think that he did not come through the way he should. And I think that's evident when you look at what happened after that. He jumped ship. He goes over to DC. I don't think that he did. I mean, maybe he really fixed Justice League, but I sure don't think so. And then he just bailed on Batgirl. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know if he's really the guy.
I think
Avengers, he was the guy. I think Buffy, he was the guy.
I think he was great in what he was doing.
I think the Russo brothers are the guy.
Right. I think he was great at what he was doing because no one else had the ability to look at a universe and craft it together. And I think that's great that he could do that. But I don't think that he has the ability to continue in that. I think he puts together great ideas, and then sometimes they fall apart. I mean, he's had several TV shows that he's put together a great idea, and they just don't hit right for whatever reason. You know, as much as I love Firefly, it clearly didn't strike with audiences. It's unfortunate. Right. And like Dollhouse, same thing. It's a really good show, and it just didn't ring enough to keep people around. It's really, really unfortunate. So what are your top like two or three movies from this that you really, really love?
Man, it changes daily. That's a tough question, Matt, because I really do love them. I think that Winter Soldier has to be maybe my number one. Time will tell whether Black Panther makes that.
Right.
Same with Spider-Man. Time will tell. And then I think the other one is one that you're going to disagree on, that first Iron Man. Really? Really? Did I say Guardians? Guardians, absolutely.
You just want to name all of them?
Nope, I think I did it.
I think those
are my tops.
I think the last three movies we got were super solid. Spider-Man Homecoming and Forward. I think everything in Phase 3 was good. Guardians, there was some problems there towards the end of that one with Kurt Russell. But at the same time, there's so many other good things in Guardians that it's not that big of a deal.
And going back to it, those things didn't bother me the second time.
Right.
I was loving it the entire movie.
Yeah.
Whereas seeing it initially, they bothered me a little.
So I think that we have solid. I mean, for me, Thor Ragnarok and Black Panther are really up there. I really like what they did with Thor Ragnarok. We got space. We got some of the World War Hulk stuff that I really, really wanted.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. It's not, we're not talking like, I mean, talk to me tomorrow. I might have completely different ones and might go, yeah, it's all about Ragnarok.
So there is a trailer out for Ant-Man and the Wasp that looks phenomenal. I'm really, really digging it. I've not seen, there's no trailer out for Captain Marvel yet, but
no.
It's going to be.
The images look great.
It's going to be great. I think Brie Larson as Captain Marvel is going to be great.
Yep, perfect casting.
There are several Infinity War trailers out. I have avoided all but the first one. No, the second one.
Boy,
I watched the second
man,
one.
That's tough.
It is. Well, I don't have cable, so that makes it really easy. but when I see it on Facebook, I scroll faster, and when it's on like Hulu, I will stop watching the show. Like whatever
sure.
show they put that in front of, I'll be like, obviously you think I fall in the proper demographic for commercial. So I'm going to quit watching the show for right now because I'm not doing it.
I've watched them and it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me in the least. Nothing is going to really be spoiled.
Yeah.
Well,
they're holding
a
lot of this
about it on shows. So
they're holding a lot of this
them.
Really close to their chest. They're building up to it. I know that the trailers are just a lot of build up for a lot of reveal that we're not going to see until we get to the movie.
When we saw Winter Soldier, we had no idea what we were going into.
Right. I had a feeling, given the name of the movie, that Bucky was going to be in it.
Sure.
But that was about it. I didn't expect that we would get Batroc the Leaper, which was ridiculous, because who takes a stupid character named Batroc the Leaper and throws it in a serious movie?
Yep.
It was great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So let's talk about, what we do know about Infinity War is that it's going to be a game changer. It's going to completely change the MCU as we see it. What does
that
mean?
I think 4 is the one that's going to actually change it.
I
think that
maybe
3 is going to, it puts them all together. There's going to be at least one death. It's going to end. You don't like a bummer movie. I bet it's going to end on a bummer.
Oh yeah.
Then we'll get these other movies, which if we look at the timeline, I'm going to guess that they're going to say Ant-Man and the Wasp is just before. Like they're
right.
going to be before whatever happens in Infinity
exactly.
War.
Exactly. And then Captain Marvel set in the 90s, so it doesn't apply. And then we get the next
right.
Avengers movie.
And then with the next one, that's when everything gets shaken up badly.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get the next Spider-Man movie, which takes place immediately after Avengers 4.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that that one, and I've seen a lot of people writing this, but I've said before that I think that the next Avengers is going to be, it's going to tie into Secret War. We're going to find out the Kree are here. We're going to find out, and we might even find out in this one, that somebody is not who we think they are.
That's possible. I think we're going to
when you say everything's going to change, yeah, because this Tony Stark that we've loved is not Tony Stark.
That would make me very disappointed because what I think is going to happen.
It won't be Tony Stark, but.
I think they're going to murder Tony Stark. He's going to die in Infinity War. Now, if that is the reveal to show that he's not the Tony Stark we thought he was, I'm fine with that. But I think Robert Downey Jr. is not, he's not unhappy with what's going on, but he also has been in, I mean, he's been in 3 Iron Man movies. He was in 2 Captain America movies.
Yeah.
I mean,
he hasn't said that he's done. Chris Evans has said he is done. And that makes sense. Having been Nomad in this one, he does Avengers 4. Potentially his character can die at that point,
or he can just step back
and
let
there be space and let him die.
Yeah.
And then, at that point we either see a female Captain America rise or we get Bucky as Cap or,
yeah.
you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't get in Avengers 4, Bucky being Cap through Avengers 4 and then leaving it. Mm-hmm. And we get this, either female Thor or something like that going forward.
Yeah.
Not Thor.
Captain America. Yeah. I think that
they're not going to do the female Thor thing because they're not going to bring Jane Foster back.
Well, yeah. I think that we have to see somebody go away. I know Chris Evans says he's done and I know he doesn't want to be shoehorned in, but
yeah,
I also
never know.
I also know that you offer somebody enough money, he can't be having a terrible time.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. said he was done, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, wait, they just backed up a Brinks truck full of cash?
Right.
Yeah, I'll do 2 or 3, 4, 5
right.
more.
And I think we get I think instead of seeing a new Captain America, I think we get Sebastian Stan, or Bucky kind of standing into that role, but I think we see Captain Marvel take that position in the Avengers. I think
sure,
she becomes the leading, you know, pillar of right and good.
Of the Avengers. Yeah, that would make sense.
And I think that's what they're doing. And I'm fine with that too, because I think that her starting here on Earth and then ending up in the cosmos, like, and then coming back to Earth to defend her own home planet from Thanos, the worst guy that has ever been worst. I'm fine with that.
Totally works.
What I want to see in Infinity War, what I really need to see in Infinity War, is a little more Howard the Duck, and I need to see that movie put on their release schedule, because frankly, I'm
not going to happen.
Why not?
Not going to happen.
Maybe he becomes a Guardian of the Galaxy. I could handle that too.
That might happen. That would not be out of the realm, but there's not going to be a Howard the Duck film. The style of that comic book doesn't fit in this world.
I don't know.
That doesn't mean that when Disney launches its own streaming service, that we don't get a Howard the Duck TV show.
I wonder if the Howard the Duck TV show would be too expensive, though, given that it would have to be mostly CGI for Howard. Because you can't just stick a guy in a duck suit. It didn't work. I love the original Howard the Duck movie. It didn't work then. It will not work now.
Yeah, but watch a show like Happy. Happy doesn't have the money behind it that Disney would be able to put. And Happy has a CGI character, and it's a great show.
Okay. The one movie that we've left off here that doesn't technically fit in the MCU, but is technically in it, is Big Hero 6. Which is unfortunate that people forget that it's an MCU movie, because it...
Is it an MCU movie?
It's a Marvel movie put out by Disney.
Yeah, but it's not MCU. It's like a Pixar movie versus a Disney movie. The Pixar movies are their own entity, even though they're all under the Disney umbrella.
Right.
So Big Hero 6 is not an MCU film, but they very well could start their own animation MCU that would be original, wholly original, and deal with stuff like Big Hero 6 and make that all tie together. Yeah. That would work.
Yeah. I also
Do I wish it was? Yeah, I love Big Hero 6. I thought that was a great film.
I also think that given the current movie ownership landscape, it's very possible that we see at the end of the fourth Avengers film something coming in from the X-Men world. I don't know what.
Yeah, no, I've actually said all along that something's going to happen. Hugh Jackman says he's done, but I would not. He was pushing hard to have Wolverine be in an Avengers film.
Yeah.
So he retires, but now there's this deal. It's not going to happen in Avengers 3, but I would not be shocked if there is a scene with X-Men in Avengers 4.
Well, and we are dealing
And we don't see Hugh Jackman. Or maybe that happens in this one, because if Thanos tears the world apart, the universe apart, and we get recasting of any of this stuff, because they could very well do that. That would make perfect sense to bring in the X-Men for a brief, like, bam, and we go, whoa, what happened here? And then in 4, when they're dealing with the Kree, that's when we have the Fantastic Four show up.
Right.
And all of a sudden, all that makes sense.
Well, we also have the potential, because it's explored in Doctor Strange, of seeing other dimensions. I mean, we've already got our... This isn't the 616.
That's why I think we'll see him in Avengers 3.
Yeah.
It would make sense to me.
Yeah.
See that happen. They're in a different dimension, but we see that happen. That collapses. That is a way that they can close the book on those Fox movies. But then they can start up an X-Men in the MCU without a blink.
Yeah. Yeah.
No problem going forward.
And I really, really like what they've done. I have complaints about a lot of the movies. There are plenty of things to complain about. But from start to finish, they've been getting better, and they've been trying hard to give us movies that are worthwhile. Like Thor and Thor the Dark World, there are some missteps. But they finally got their feet underneath them at I would say Captain America First Avenger, and going forward from there, even the missteps, even I know that Age of Ultron is not the greatest movie, but it's also not bad. There are other things from other companies that we could look at and be like, this was bad.
Oh, sure.
Because even in Age of Ultron, none
of these are bad.
Yeah. Even in Age of Ultron,
they're not the best.
They understand the characters that they're dealing with, and they play to those characters. It just
right.
A lot of it falls flat. unlike the DCU. Honestly, my big concern with the DCU is they don't understand their characters. They don't understand how to play to them. They don't understand how to make those things shine.
And they're trying to make superhero movies, and that's not working.
And it's just not. So, yeah.
Do I want it to? Yes. People always think because I do enough said that I don't want – that I'm, like, going to be super critical and hate on the DCU stuff. No. Wonder Woman was great.
Yeah.
They understood it. But then when they did Justice League, they screwed that up. She was great, but they put all the Amazons in bikinis, and they did butt shots of her. They did Batman was – ridiculous.
I watched an
Flash was on. Aquaman was cool, but I don't know how that movie's gonna be.
Right. I watched honest trailers for Justice League today, and they pointed out that like the movie clearly went through all of these edits because there's all this stuff from the trailer that we don't ever see anything of.
And, right, none of it's there.
And there are good points in the movie, and it's just kind of gone, and Steppenwolf is very generic, and there were so many things that just were missteps. I don't think that Ben Affleck is a bad Bruce Wayne or Batman. I just don't think that he was given a script that was worth it. And I don't think that Henry Cavill's a bad Superman. I don't think that the scripts are doing them justice. I thought I thought the Flash and the kid playing the Flash were fantastic. I think that it gave us a Spider-Man young quality to it that fit just fine. And it was nice to see that, but like Cyborg is the flattest two-dimensional character ever that we don't learn anything about and we don't care about.
Agreed.
And Aquaman's just
I didn't walk out of there caring about him at all.
And Aquaman just turns out to be a big flaming jerk. And frankly, if I want big flaming jerks, there are other movies I can see that in. Tony Stark is all over the place. Like I don't need that.
Yeah, they should have made him Lobo and let him be a big flaming jerk as Lobo.
Right. Well, that would have been I would go see that Lobo movie. I will not see a Lobo movie. I would never think to see a Lobo movie, but if they put Jason Momoa in Lobo, I would go see that.
You'd be right.
For all the things that they are not perfect on here, they have really hit a lot of great stuff that they need a woman to be front and center in some of these, and they're and Black Widow and Scarlett Johansson is doing great. I didn't think she was a great actress before these. I don't think she's a great actress now, but she understands that character and plays it really well. And
I would like to see them do one that is no superhero, definite spy thriller, but really like deep cut Cold War.
So we saw
that would work.
We saw Red Sparrow recently, and it very much felt like
that should have been Black Widow.
Have you seen the movie?
No, but I've read all about it.
So, like, it really felt like we were watching someone put together a script for Black Widow, went to Disney, and they were like, no. And then they took it away and said, okay, how can we key this up so that it becomes something different? And they put in some nudity and some sex, which was appropriately themed to the movie, and made it brutal, and that's what we got. It was Red Sparrow, and all I could think of all the way through it was, you know, in my mind, this is the Black Widow. This is what the Black Widow was. This is her backstory because this fits exactly what we would want to see from that character. And we're not getting that. And I don't understand why. What I really want to see is Black Widow team up with T'Challa's little sister and the two of them do some sort of spy thriller thing. I think that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
So there's some stuff that they need to do. We need more heroes of color. We really do. I'm not a proponent of, like, you know, stick them in just to stick them in. But what I am a proponent of is we're dealing with defenders of a world, not defenders of, you know, Whitesville. And we need to start dealing with that. And we need to be realistic about it. And you know what? The comic books were never written like that because it was at a different time. So let's just not be that.
Which is why we now have an Asian Hulk and we have female characters taking over the mantles of Iron Man and Thor.
Right.
You know, the female characters in the Spider-Verse are freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
Silk and Spider-Gwen, love them.
Yeah.
Love those characters.
So we need more. There's plenty here that are fine, but we need more, and we need them to be front and center. And the Captain Marvel movie, I have high expectations for it. I think that it's going to do that. I think that Brie Larson's going to be fantastic. And we're going to get great stuff out of her.
Agreed.
And then Ant-Man and Wasp is really just going to key up that Wasp aspect and run with it. So I'm perfectly fine with that. So I think we covered it all. I think we touched on most everything.
I'm ready to go watch Infinity War.
Right.
That's what I'm ready for.
We got when this comes out, that'll be 2 weeks until the episode comes or the movie comes out. Since they moved it back, that was a very interesting decision. I was unsure about that, but I guess it's a positive move. It also gives the movie a little bit more time to breathe before Ant-Man and Wasp come out.
Sure.
And it gives the movie a little more time to breathe before Solo comes out in May. So Disney's filling up the release schedule with their movies, and not this could be a problem in the future.
Well, most of the movies I go see now are put out by Disney, it seems.
Right.
Unless they're indie films, you know?
Right. Where can we find Nuff Said?
Well, Nuff Said is on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's basically everywhere that you would get your podcasty goodness. We have a Facebook page. We also have, just look up Nuff Said Podcast.
Okay.
We also have our website, southgatemediagroup.com with a / Nuff Said. And that one I'm not great about updating, so you're better off at this point going there, following it, but really you'll catch more on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram under Nuff Said Podcast. And then you can also follow me at R Southgate.
Excellent. Well, Rob, thank you for being on.
Let me pimp something real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to pimp the same thing. I'm almost positive. Go ahead.
I have a feeling because June 8th, we are doing a podcast marathon at Indie PopCon.
Yep.
We are talking about doing an episode of Nuff Said Live there. We're also bringing our show This Week in Geek. Chris and Alil are both coming out. So we've got June 8th at Indie PopCon, starting at 9 in the morning, going till 7 at night. We have 20 podcasts that will be performing in the room. And then we have more podcasts happening outside of the room.
Yeah.
So come see us at Indie PopCon, and Matt Quiet will be there.
Yep. Well, we will be at Indie PopCon in Indianapolis June 8th, 9th, and 10th. I will be on at the table on and off Friday and maybe on Saturday. I don't know. Saturday is going to be tough. We're running a LARP, which is something you definitely can go and sign up for. But we will have a table there. We'll be doing stuff for the podcast marathon. I'm running some trivia that night related to the con. We'll be out in force. Us and then also the rest of kind of Southgate Media there. I think it's going to be the most of us in one spot for a little bit. It's going to be dangerous, I guess.
I think so.
But it'll be good
weekend. A good time.
Yeah, it'll be a great weekend. So definitely come out, check out the con. That's June 8th, 9th, and 10th in Indianapolis. Tickets are on sale. I don't have any special codes, but it is worth the time to come out. Big news is that LeVar Burton and Will Wheaton will both be there, as well as the actress that plays Mantis, Palm something. I don't remember her last name. She will be there. We also get star of Sharknado, Tara Reid. And if you're a big Overwatch fan, a couple of the Overwatch voice actresses will be there as well, and some Power Rangers. It's going to be great.
And Matt Quiet.
Actually, Indie PopCon is something I really enjoy every year. It's great to be able to set up there. This will be the fifth one, so it'll be our fifth one that we've been there. So, all right. Well, Rob, thank you for being on. And
thank you for having me. And everybody, listen enough said.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening. We will talk to you guys next week. That is not the right exit music.
Try again.
We're gonna now let's try this. And that will do us tonight on the Nerds Domain Podcast. Remember, you can email us at nerdsdomain@gmail.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter at facebook.com/nerdsdomain and twitter.com/nerdsdomain. You can also check out our site at nerdsdom.com. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter while you're there. You can head over to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. We want to thank Josh Shop for the music. And don't forget to support us at patreon.com/nerdsdomain or check out our t-shirts over at tpublic.com/user/nerdsdomain. Have a great night!